Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Good morning and welcome to our tour of God's temple. And I'm not talking about Trinity Chapel, but I'm your tour guide today. I am here to take you on a tour of God's temple. And it's not a physical building, but it is the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. It is the church of all those who truly believe and trust in Christ as their Savior and desire to follow him. The first thing that you may notice about this temple is that you can't see it. It's invisible. It's hidden. It's hidden in the hearts of people. It's so hidden that sometimes the stones that are in this building aren't even sure if they're in it. It's not always the most beautiful structure in the world. Sometimes it gets ridiculed and mocked and laughed at. But it is the most secure structure. It is the only edifice that will remain standing on the last day. God alone is the architect and the builder of this structure. He drew up the original plans way back in eternity, and he knew exactly which stones he was going to pick even before he created the world. He knew which stones he would pick up and make a part of this beautiful temple. And all of the work that has been done through the years of building this edifice of the Holy Christian Church has been done by him. None of the stones somehow jumped up off of a pile and put themselves into the wall. Just like this physical building, none of these bricks in here jumped off of a truck and made themselves become part of the wall. They're inanimate objects. And so it is with the stones in God's temple. All of those human beings, because of their fallen condition, the Bible says, are spiritually dead. They're inanimate objects. They can't jump up and make themselves part of God's church and wall. God had to do it. God, the worker, by the power of his word, through them, picked them up, gave them faith, and put them with mortar into the wall of his church. How silly it would be for any of the stones in God's church to claim that they put themselves in the wall. How absolutely ridiculous. Faith is not an act of man. Thank God. It's an act of God. Please follow me then down to the bottom floor of the building and the most important part of the building. Over here you will see a very special stone. It's different than all the rest. This is the cornerstone. It is God's own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, very God of very God, begotten of the Father from eternity, by whom all things were made. He's the one who took on human flesh in the womb of Mary, the incarnation. Now, in our present day, just like in this physical building, a cornerstone is pretty much an irrelevant stone other than being decorative, or maybe it has a box inside of it that holds some documents from back when the building was built and so on. Oftentimes, ironically, in our day and age, when a building is built, the last stone to go in is the cornerstone. And it's the most, in a sense, irrelevant stone in the building. But in ancient times, the cornerstone was the most relevant and the first stone to be laid down. And the reason it was so important was this. This was the one stone that the builder and the owner would make sure to buy special because it was specially cut to be exactly with 90-degree angles. You had to have this very precisely cut stone to be set down first so that the rest of the foundation could be set around it, or else the walls would be cockeyed and would fall apart. So this absolutely perfect stone had to be set in place. And so it is with God's church. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one, the only perfect stone in the building. He is the one who has precisely, perfectly followed God's law with mathematical precision and cut. He is the one alone who has provided the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Would this not have been put in place, would a lesser stone have been used, the entire structure would fall apart. The text we read earlier reminds us, in Christ, the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Without him, there's no church. Come with me then on the tour a little bit further down here into the basement. And let's look then at the rest of the foundation. Here we see in place the apostles and the prophets. This is likewise an essential part of this important building. Without these, everything else would fall. And notice that as you stand at the cornerstone here, you can see that there are walls that go in both directions up to that stone. You have the Old Testament stones of the prophets that point to Christ, and you have the New Testament stones of the apostles that likewise point back to Christ and are all fitted together with him. The entire church of God then rests upon the writings of these inspired writers whom God chose to record his holy word. And that's why the significance of this foundation, that is why the devil spends so much time trying to break apart and chip away at the foundation of God's truth and of God's word. That's why the devil knows that if he can challenge that word, the foundation, if he can get you to question its authenticity, its accuracy, its truthfulness, then he will cause the walls of the building to cave in. Let's look at some of the other old stones that are present here in the building. Come and look over here. Here you can see the oldest stones placed in this building, Adam and Eve. Look over here, you can see Noah. There's Moses. There's King David. Yeah, you might wonder why he would be in here, being an adulterer and a murderer. But think how wonderful and marvelous the grace of God is to cover all of our sins. Yes, he's one of the stones in there too. Here's Mary and Martha, Lazarus, the thief on the cross. And now for the last part of our tour, I'm going to ask you to put your hard hats on because we're going into a construction area. We're going into the part of the church that is the modern building of the church today, still resting upon that same foundation, however. And here you can see the workers who are laboring hard to add stones to the walls. The Holy Spirit, through God's word and sacrament and through the ministry of his word, continues to build and construct this church today. And this is how young stones are put into place. Now also notice that some of the stones appear to be almost falling out of the wall. There are some that maybe are just precariously hanging and stuck in the wall, but the mortar has gotten dry on them and they're starting to fall. Notice how the workers go up, the ministers of God's word, and gently push them back into place through the application of law and gospel and reapply a new fresh mortar of God's mercy in Christ to bring them back into the church. This is the only edifice that will withstand the final destruction coming to the world. As we conclude our tour today, I hope you enjoyed it. And one question that I often get asked at the end of the tour is this: how can I know if I'm one of the stones? How can I know that I'm in that building? Like me, you might look at yourself and your own conscience. You might look at the sins that just keep coming in your life that you just can't seem to stop. You may think of how deeply you have fallen sometimes in your life and in your spiritual life. You may wonder about whether you even have faith at all, because it's so weak sometimes. And then you may wonder, that thing that you consider to be your faith, is it real? Is it genuine? Well, if this troubles you, if it concerns you, if it bothers you that you might not be a stone in the building and you wish you were, that's a beautiful indication that you are. You maybe need to be tightened up a bit, but you're there. You see, if you look at the stones in this building, God does not require perfection from them. It's only the cornerstone that has the perfection. But all of the stones in God's church, in his temple, rest upon that perfect stone. And what that means is this, that all of them acknowledge their guilt and sin before God, are penitent of that, and rely and rest entirely for their hope of salvation, entirely on Christ, the one and only perfect stone. So blessed are those who hear that word of God and keep it. Amen. Please rise for prayer. I ask that you would take your hymnary and turn to page 58, page 58 in the front part of the hymn book. And you will find there the second prayer in the middle of the page. Let us pray that together in unison. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the head cornerstone. Grant that we may be joined together in unity of spirit by their doctrine, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable unto you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.